How and when did your interest in contemporary OBGYN begin?
Wow, I would have to say very early in my career, probably junior faculty maybe. So it's been a lot of years. And one of the things that I've always liked about it is that it's always relevant. So that's what makes it successful.
How would you describe your role as a board member to our readers?
So I'm new to the board and had just one meeting, which was great. I think that the role that I would like to play is that, I'd like to be giving new ideas, helping figure out sort of what topics are, important to people who are practicing now.
Absolutely.
Also wondering if there's ways we can sort of spice it up a little bit and present the information differently so that it's appealing to even more people than the ones who are reading now.
Awesome. That is a major goal of ours, to sort of shift more to the digital side of, sharing this information. So that's really exciting. What made you decide to pursue OBGYN, specifically high risk obstetrics?
That's a long meandering answer. There is a long meandering answer to that. I would say by the time I got to medical school, the last couple of years of medical school, I started to think about sort of what's the population of people that I can see myself working with, for a really long career. Although I liked medicine and I liked surgery, didn't particularly like psychiatry, thought I was going to be a pediatrician. And then I realized, not so sure I like that either. Women's health really turned out to be sort of the perfect area and the perfect, patient population. And in general, I kind of like the whole young and healthy and, good things happen and, the happy outcomes. Of course, I ended up going into all of the areas that would be not as happy. But nonetheless, that was the original, sort of draw to it, was, the ability to deliver babies and to help people in their families and all those sort of happy outcomes. And then I, fell into, high risk obstetrics.
Right.
Where it's not always happy, but you know what? 99.9% of the time, it is happy. It just might be bumpy getting there. And that I find challenging and even more rewarding. And then the infectious disease part of it, I just sort of literally fell into just because of the timing of when I finished my fellowship. It was the beginning of the HIV epidemic in Boston. And so I really kind of got in there and, that sort of changed everything. Yeah. So I left Brigham and Women's after my fellowship in high risk obstetrics. And then I went to, I got my first job, which was then at Boston City, which is now Boston University. And that's where I did my infectious disease fellowship. And we started the first HIV clinic for women. When I was there. Yeah, it's great.
Okay, great. How did that contribute to, you are also a member of ACOG's COVID task force.
Yeah.
How do these sort of overlap?
So actually the, when I told my then chair that I wanted to do, work in HIV, the infectious disease specialist there, both pediatrics and adult infectious disease, said, no, you need more training. And I was like, I just wanted to get out and practice. But they convinced me to do an infectious disease fellowship, which at the time, there wasn't one that was really focused on reproductive medicine. It was, you either did pediatrics or internal medicine. And so I ended up doing the internal medicine and about 6 months of pediatrics. And once I did that, it really became a super specialty in a way. And so all along my career, I've either been doing HIV or group B strep or recently, things like Ebola, Zika, and now COVID. So having a sort of specialty that is within a specialty is mostly what's driven my career. So, you know, pregnancy has a different physiology. And so infectious diseases, which are, you know, pretty common, how you treat them, how they impact pregnant women and things like that can be very different. And so having that expertise has been sort of what's gotten me into all these different areas and different collaborations like CDC and ACOG.
Absolutely. That's incredible. What do you and your colleagues on the task force expect to see as, you know, as people are getting vaccinated and people are sort of coming together again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we're hoping to see is that the numbers of COVID cases, new COVID cases, continue to go down. You know, I think that we've been reasonably successful at being very transparent with the public. And pregnant women have gone ahead and gotten vaccinated, which I think is incredibly reasonable given, you know, an ongoing pandemic and given, you know, the information suggesting that, you know, COVID-19 really is worse in pregnancy and is associated with worse pregnancy outcomes. So I think women heard that, and they, you know, also heard the fact that the vaccine has been very successful in decreasing cases. And so that's been the reason to go ahead and essentially, you know, avail themselves of the only preventive strategy that exists. And now I think a lot of it is just like keeping track of the safety data. And so far it seems like there haven't been any things that we should be worried about, but obviously we need to continue to monitor that.
Absolutely. Do you have a plan in place for sort of updating, because this information is coming out, you know, every other day. How do you guys manage that?
Well, it's interesting.
How do you as a provider, you know, you as an individual manage that with your patients?
Yeah. The COVID task force that ACOG has set up actually meets every week. That's how much information there is, and that's how rapidly it changes. And I would say, you know, the people at ACOG who have been really sort of, you know, knee deep in this are great at keeping up with the literature as well. And the literature is coming out fast and furiously. So I think that that's what's challenging really for practitioners is the information comes out so quickly. It's our responsibility to be able to put that information together and then, you know, present it to our patients and answer the patient's questions. You know, the hope has been that the ACOG group, that COVID task force, that all of our, you know, efforts are helping other physicians do exactly that. We take in the information as soon as we get it, try and understand whether it's published, is it real, is it not, and then put that into, you know, frequently asked questions and practice advisories and things that are easy for people to access.
How do you juggle such a busy schedule, taking care of other people and making time for yourself? And what advice would you give, you know, maybe younger folks just starting out, you know, looking to incorporate health and wellness into the daily routine?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think the first thing that I would say, and what I say to certainly, you know, residents and junior faculty is pace yourself, right? Like, I think when you start your career, you're like, I have so much to do. I have this long.
You had mentioned that. You had mentioned, you know, you wanted to just hit the ground running.
Yeah, you absolutely do, because you finally, you know, you finally have the knowledge. You've been studying forever, and now I'm, you know, actually going to get out there and do something. And, you know, depending on what your aspirations are, I want to be a chair, I want to be, you know, this, whatever. I think you just have to pace yourself, because you know, life is going to happen. You don't want to be sort of looking so far ahead that you miss what's happening today. I think also it's just, you know, medicine is stressful, right? And you have so much responsibility for other people's lives as well as your own family. So I think that that's the other reason that you have to really take your time. You know, COVID was just what a disastrous 14 months.
Oh man.
You know, but I would say the thing that kept my sanity was a Peloton.
Okay, I just got one.
Oh, it's great.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Exactly. I mean, you just need to like do something mindless. And maybe for some people, I know it's, you know, very like they really into it and worry about their time. I'm like, whatever. I just get on there and let the music blast and just like sweat. And then I feel better.
Right.
I'm convinced that exercise is important. You know, spending time with your family is important. All those other things that we all know.